In our morning worship, we are studying the Gospel according to St. Luke. And we've come this morning to the 11th chapter, Christ's teaching on prayer. Luke chapter 11, and we read together from the first verse. When Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he'd ceased, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John the Baptist taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say," and then here follows a shortened version of what we call the Lord's Prayer. You find its full version in Matthew's Gospel. "Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." You can see it's much shorter than the Lord's Prayer that we know. And he said to them, continuing the theme of prayer, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 barley bannocks, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, although he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And so I tell you, ask in prayer, and it will be given you. Seek in prayer, and you will find. Knock in prayer, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks in prayer receives, and he who seeks in prayer finds, and to him who knocks in prayer it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will, instead of a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading from his holy word. To his name be the honor and the praise. We come this morning to some of Christ's teaching on prayer. In chapter 11, the first 2 verses, we read these words. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had ceased, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John the Baptist taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say," and then, of course, you get that shortened version of the Lord's Prayer. And that, in turn, is followed by the story which we're going to think of this morning. It's commonly called the Friend at Midnight. In chapter 11 and verse 5, Jesus said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 barley bannocks, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.'" And the lesson of this great story has to do with importunate prayer or persevering prayer. And that theme of importunate prayer seems to be of some interest to Luke, because later on in chapter 18 of his gospel, he tells us the story of the heartless judge. And once again, the message is of importunate prayer. Prayer that perseveres against the gates of heaven until God grants an answer. And so the story of the heartless judge in chapter 18 starts like this. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Jesus said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor regarded man. He was a callous, godless fellow." And the story goes on to tell of this widow who wanted her case to be heard before the judge. She was not prepared to bribe him, as she would normally have had to do in an Eastern court. And instead, she hammered at the man and nagged at the man until he was weary of her cries. And because of her importunity, he heard her case. And Christ's conclusion to the story is this. The Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says." And here's the message. "And will not God vindicate his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith like this on earth?" It's the same message. It's the message of importunate prayer that reaches the ears of God and moves his hand. And not only so, the theme of persevering prayer is of special interest not only to Luke, it is a crucial element in the teaching of the New Testament. Listen to these words from the New Testament. Paul says in Romans 12 and 12, "Rejoice in your hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." That doesn't simply mean keep praying all the time. It means keep praying with a particular quality of prayer. Be constant in prayer. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, again he says, "Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication." And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, that is the climax of Paul's teaching on the armor of the Christian. The last weapon in the armor, after the sword and the shield and the helmet and so on, the last weapon is the weapon of all prayer. Persevering, persistent, importunate prayer that moves the hand of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. The same insistence is found in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, where Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer and be watchful in it with thanksgiving. Continue steadfastly, perseveringly, importunately in prayer, being watchful in it. And lastly, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, the shortest verse in the Revised Standard Version, just as Jesus wept is the shortest verse in the Authorized Version, the shortest verse in the RSV is, pray constantly. Two words, pray constantly. The New Testament insists on the perseverance and the importunity of prayer that reaches the ears of God. And even within the passage we read this morning from Luke chapter 11, the insistency of this kind of prayer and the urgency and the importunity of this kind of prayer can be found in these three commands in verse 9. Jesus said, I tell you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And the tense of these three verbs, ask, seek and knock, is a tense that's called the continuous present. It's not ask once and for all, seek once and for all, knock once and for all. What the Greek says is, continue to ask, continue to seek, continue to knock. Or as we would say, go on asking, go on seeking, go on knocking. And the importunity and the perseverance of prayer lie there. Go on asking, go on seeking, go on knocking, and God will hear you and God will answer. As Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said, whether we like it or not, asking like this, go on asking. Asking like this is the rule of the kingdom. And the story of the friend at midnight is told to illustrate this. In fact, there are three men in the story. First of all, there's the man who's on the journey. And he's traveled far, and he's weary. And so late at night, he comes to a friend's house asking for food and lodging. He's the first man. The second man is his friend, who discovers at midnight that the larder is empty. Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three barley bannocks, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him? That's a second man. The third man is the man who's in bed with his children. Now you appreciate that the Jewish day ended at 6 in the evening. And so if all of this happened at midnight, the man may well have been in bed for some 4 or 6 hours. And if you are anything like me, I don't like being disturbed after lying in bed for 4 or 6 hours. Jesus says, "Will he rise and give the man 3 barley bannocks because he is his friend?" Well, he could well do so, because the man at the door was his friend in need. But he does not. It is because the man at the door is making a nuisance of himself, persevering and persistent, that the friend finally rises and answers the cry for help. And so you see, it is not on the grounds of friendship that the cry is heard and answered, but on the grounds of importunity. And so it is with God. If God is your Father and your friend, he may well choose to answer your prayers on the basis of friendship. But if you engage in persevering prayer, he will answer your prayers not on the ground of friendship, but on the ground of importunity. And that's the message here. There is a certain quality of prayer which reaches the ears of God and moves the hand of God. And it is importunate prayer that does it. I believe that this story gives us a beautiful threefold portrait of the God who hears and answers prayer. First of all, we have here a portrait of the God who is always awake. Unlike the three men in the story, God does not become tired and weary at the end of the day. God doesn't need to go to bed for a rest. God is always awake. God is the unsleeping benevolence who watches over you. God is always awake for you. And in fact, that was something which marked out God as being different from all the other gods in the Old Testament. The gods of the heathen, the Baals, as they're called, were gods who ate and drank like men, and they became weary and tired. And they were gods who needed sleep to recover their strength. But David says in the 121st Psalm, "He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps." God never dozes off. He never nods off. He is always awake, sleeplessly awake for his children. "He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And if you recall the great story of Elijah's contest with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, you remember that when Elijah taunted them, this was one of the things he threw at them, that their God was sound asleep, and that was why he wasn't answering their prayers. Listen to these words from 1 Kings chapter 18. Then the priests of Baal took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped about the altar which they'd made. It was noon, it was hot, they were exhausted, and so they limped round the altar. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he has gone aside, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened. Prophetic scorn, a god who needed sleep to recover his strength. But there's no need for you to tell God to waken up, because God is not asleep. My friend, every moment of every night, of every day, of every year of your life, the true and living God is awake for you. Unlike the three friends in this story, God never sleeps. He's the God who is always awake. Secondly, he is the God who always hears. It may well be that if you do pray, and of course I don't assume that everyone here prays, it may well be that it is a contradiction of your experience to say that God always hears. Have you ever felt in your prayers from time to time that God was not listening to you at all? Have you ever sensed that the heavens above you were as brass and the iron, the firmament like iron, unyielding and implacable and unanswering? Have you ever felt when you prayed that it was almost like talking to yourself? Well, if God always hears prayer, what do you make of that experience? It's of great encouragement to know that the psalmists found themselves often in precisely that condition. Over and over again in countless psalms, you find men crying to God and saying, Listen to me. Why are you silent? Why do you stand so far off? Be attentive to my cry. Why are you silent towards me in the day of my trouble? Heavens of brass and a firmament of iron. And alongside these cries in the Psalms, you find the voice of faith. And it's faith which rises above feelings. And what the voice of faith says is this. Psalm 6 and verse 8. The Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. He has heard my supplications. The Lord accepts my prayers. In spite of the heavens of brass and the firmament of iron, the Lord has heard. The Lord accepts my prayers. God always hears prayer. Psalm 18. In my distress, I called on the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. Skies of brass, heavens of iron. And from his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Psalm 22, the Lord has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cries to him. Whatever your feelings tell you about brass heavens and iron firmaments, whatever your emotions may say to you, God is always awake and God always hears prayer. And thirdly, God always answers prayer. Go on asking, says Jesus, and it shall be given you. Go on seeking, and you shall find. Go on knocking, and it shall be opened to you. For to everyone who goes on asking, it is given. To everyone who seeks, he finds. And to everyone who knocks, it is opened. God always answers prayer. You see, there isn't such a thing as unanswered prayer. It doesn't exist. You shall call, says Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 9, you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. What do you want? You've called me? Here I am. What do you want? Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Even while you pray, the answer is on the way. Not always when you want it. You may not live to see the answer. The answer may come after you die. You may have to die in faith, waiting for the answer. But as soon as you pray, the answer is on the way. You shall call, and the Lord will answer. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are speaking, I will hear. It's not always when you want it, and it's not always how you want it. God may choose to answer your prayers in an unexpected way, but as soon as you pray, he hears and he answers immediately. God is always awake to importunate prayer. God always hears importunate prayer. And God always answers importunate prayer. Which leaves us with the question, why then does he make you wait? Well, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why God is waiting. He's waiting to give you something far better than you've asked for. Paul says in Ephesians 3, he is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. And that's why he's waiting, to give you something better than you asked for. Jesus said, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I'll close on that note with some words by Murray McChain. He said, if you pray in union with Jesus, having childlike confidence towards God, I believe, says McChain, that in all such cases, you will get the very thing you ask, at the very time you ask. Before you call, God will answer. And while you are speaking, God will hear these words. God will either give you what you ask, or something far better. And that's why he's waiting, to give you something far better. Amen. May God bless the preaching of his word. To his name be the honor and the praise. Now we come to the baptism of a child, and we sing the first and the third verses of hymn number 29. 29, we sing the first and the third verses. Now thank we all our God.